and all the wounds you sustained here today. Father can heal them. The darkness of a deep despair-filled ocean can overwhelm the strongest of souls, and the tide
of mountains to move out of our path today. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, Pastor Eli James, Pastor Steve. This is, of course, the Always Covenant People coming to you on December 23rd. Hold on, I got to completely kill the audio here. Still in the background. And
nice this song.
Is, yeah, right. Yeah, that's Jonathan David Brown. And we're going to complete our series now on Who is Esau Edom? By Charles Wiseman, and we're going to be picking it up on page 123.
123, Jacob's right. Deliverance.
Yeah, and yes. For those who are interested, you can follow along, read along, www.thechristianidentityforum.net. Thechristianidentityforum.net. And then just search for Esau Edom, Esau-Edom. So let's pick it up here, Pastor Steve. Jacob's deliverance. Obadiah's prophecy of Jacob stated that his deliverance would be upon Mount Zion, and upon Mount Zion means the government of Israel. Here was to be the main stranglehold that the anti-God forces of Red Babylon had upon Jacob. Of course, the phony Zionists, the Jews, have created a phony Zionism, because they want to co-opt us and preempt Yahweh, okay? They've almost co-opted us, but they're not going to preempt Yahweh. He's got other plans. Jeremiah spoke of that period of time as a time of travail and as the time of Jacob's trouble, from which he was promised to be saved and delivered. These are the words of prophecy concerning Israel and Judah. Let's just quote it here real quick. For thus says Yahweh, I have heard a voice of trembling, of fear, and not of peace. Ask now and see whether a man does travail with child. It seems like some of our men are travailing with a child these days. Wherefore do I see every man with his hands on his loins, as a woman in travail? Ouch, it hurts. And all faces are turned into paleness. Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. For it shall come to pass in that day, says Yahweh of hosts, that I will break his yoke from off their neck, and I will tear off their bonds, and strangers shall no longer make them slaves. Okay.
I have a comment.
Go ahead.
We are watching the destruction, as promised, of the economic empire. All their usury banking is starting to break down. We are seeing the enemy's children go into full panic mode.
Right.
It is the time of wailing, and they're clutching their loins because half of them have had their sex changed.
Yeah, right.
And
right.
Let's put it this way. I am so glad to have a part and the physical dismembering of these people.
Amen.
And their power.
Yes.
I am blessed by Yahweh to be able to participate in this. Yes. As a soldier on the front lines. And the truth itself, as we are telling it in Christian Identity, is what is hacking away at their foundation and watching it crumble.
Yes.
And I am very gratified to watch their lives exposed, full panic. They're worried whether they're going to jail. They're worried right. whether countries are going to refuse to pay their debt.
Right.
There's nothing to foreclose on because they've bled them dry. Oh, it's such a good feeling.
Yes.
Over to you.
Well, I was just going to say that this time of Jacob's trouble, being us, the Caucasian Israelites and not the Jews, we have been going through Jacob's trouble, I'd say, well, from 1815 on, when the House of Rothschild became the main economic force on planet Earth and has been giving Jacob all kinds of hell. I mean, not just trouble, but hell on Earth with their communist revolutions, their war, staged wars. Now they're the immigration war that they
various methods of white genocide.
That's right.
That sort of covers it all.
Yes.
Varying
yes.
methods. They don't have one front. They're hitting us on all sides.
And so this was prophesied by Isaac to Esau when he said, "The day is coming when Jacob's yoke will be taken off of your neck, Esau." But now we see that the yoke of Esau on our neck is finally starting to be broken. We have never enslaved anybody, okay? It's the Jews who have been enslaving us, okay? And strangers have been enslaving us. They're basically strangers trained by Jews to steal our money and live off our dime, so to speak, okay?
Well, we were commanded by Yahweh not to put a stranger above us. And what do we have today? It's going to change.
That's right.
In January, but we have had a stranger above us from an alien race for 8 years.
That's right. That's a long time. A long, long
time. Well, look at the damage that has occurred in those 8 years.
Yes.
I've never seen such a rapid downhill slide as I have seen under Obama Llama Ding Dong.
Right. And every other race believes that we owe them. And we get taxed. The government taxes the white middle class, not the corporations, not the Jews, not the other races. It's the white middle class that pays for all this welfare. And they actually believe that we owe it to them, right? This is incredible. But this is ending because of its own internal corruption. It cannot end otherwise. It's going to collapse. And the only question is how fast will it collapse, okay?
Well, the white race is realizing, finally, we have had no small part in it.
Right.
That when you mix race and bring alien peoples in with you, they do not raise us up.
Right.
They bring us down. They are raised
by us.
Just to the point where they can destroy what we have built. Everywhere they predominate, they try to take it right back to what they left before they came here to be, quote unquote, free.
Right. Right.
And they never knew true freedom, and they want to eliminate it here.
Yes. So. Yes. Well, for them, freedom is taking what Whitey has. That's the only kind of freedom they know.
In a nutshell, that is exactly what it is.
Yeah. Okay. Here again, we see that a yoke will be upon Jacob, not upon the Jews, folks. The Jews are just going to be destroyed. Nobody's going to enslave them. They're just going to be destroyed. The yoke is bondage and servitude to another race which has dominion over Jacob. When Esau broke the yoke of Jacob off his neck, he was to gain dominion and place a yoke upon Jacob. It is this yoke of Esau which God has promised to someday break off Jacob's neck. He promised to put it on us, and he promised to take it off. God prophesied of Israel that he would break the bars of their yoke and deliver them from the hand of those who have enslaved them. Ezekiel 34:27. So, we are tax slaves, wage slaves. What other ways have they enslaved us? They've enslaved us to their deceit. Their deceitful
ways. They've programmed
ways.
Our children to be slaves through their Talmud vision and the takeover of the school systems and even higher education.
Yes.
They are programmed.
Yes.
They're programmed to feel bad about being white, to feel white guilt when there is no guilt. They are taught
to
be good servants and good employees of corporations, which are owned by Jews.
Right.
That's what they're not taught to think for themselves or to be entrepreneurs.
Right.
Or to go out on their own in any manner. They are taught to be good little sheep.
Yes. And we are slaves to pharmakia.
Oh, and, yes.
Yeah, right?
Drug sorcery.
Yes, there we go. So, and it's not the Jews who have been enslaved by these things. It's our people who have been enslaved by these things. Let's continue. The white peoples today are truly a slave to the Edomite Jews who command and control the various areas of government, finance, and everyday living, which are essential to their liberties. Let us consider the words of American patriot Patrick Henry. Tell me, when did liberty ever exist when the sword and the purse were given up from the people? Unless a miracle shall interpose, no nation ever did, nor ever can retain its liberty after the loss of the sword and the purse. Okay, well, the Jews control our purse, and the Jews control
our military and police. Yes,
that's right. Unfortunately, nothing will preserve it, that is public liberty, but downright force. And whenever you give up that force, you are inevitably ruined and or enslaved.
Gun laws.
Yeah. Our founding fathers knew what was going on. Today's white people are simply clueless. That's the reality.
And the Second Amendment has nothing to do with hunting.
No.
We are to be as well armed.
Right.
As the military. And well, that means machine guns. That means rocket launchers. That means grenades.
Right.
Cannon.
We're the militia. We're the militia.
We are to equal the United States military to prevent tyranny.
Yes. Under the Constitution, we are the military. The standing armies of the Army, Navy, Air Force, these are not constitutional, folks. That's been added.
And we're not to have a standing army. Each state is to have a militia to protect that state.
Right.
And the states are to be able to join together to declare war on a common enemy.
That's right. That's right. That's the way it was in the American Revolution and even during the Civil War.
They don't teach that anymore.
Of course not. Of course not. Because they want to legitimize the standing army, which is a benefit of the Jews because they can control these standing armies, where state militias would be another matter entirely. Okay.
And those in our standing armies that won't fire on American citizens get duty overseas.
Right.
And those that answer the questionnaire, yes, I'd fire on them. They stay here.
Yes.
And then they have their little UN troops that they will bring in a UN action.
Right.
The blue helmets.
That's right.
Boy, they're a pretty blue.
Well, isn't
they're visible. They're visible a long way off, if you know what I'm talking about.
That's right. And it's the same shade of blue as the flag of the Israeli state.
Oh, my.
Yeah. Right.
Imagine that.
Rothschild blue. Let's continue. Yes, who has control of the sword and the purse in Zion, that is America, or any other white nation? Every nation that has become a willing partner of the Jew-controlled United Nations has surrendered its military to its edicts. Every nation that has its monetary system dependent on a centralized Jewish-controlled bank has surrendered its purse into the hands of the Jews. The people of those nations have lost their liberty and have the yoke of Esau Edom upon them. It will be a miracle of God that this yoke will be removed and the people, a true miracle. Well, we know it's really not going to happen until the second coming.
Uh-huh. Second Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 6 through 10.
Yes.
That tells what's going to happen.
Yes. A further revelation of the process and nature of Jacob's final deliverance from his enemy Esau is found in the Apocrypha of the Bible. Then answered I and said, what shall be the parting asunder of the times, that is, the ages? Or when shall be the end of the first age and the beginning of the age that follows? Oh, we actually covered this already, but it's in the book here. And Yahweh said unto me, from Abraham unto Isaac, when Jacob and Esau were born of him, Jacob's hand held first, or from the beginning, the heel of Esau. For Esau is the end of this world, and Jacob is the beginning of it that follows. Okay? Which means that we, Adamic Israelites, will be the leaders of the age that comes after this. And, of course, that's going to be an eternal age because that's the Stone Kingdom.
That new age is coming soon.
That's right.
All the signs are pointing to it. Never in history has all these events taken place simultaneously. There have been scattered events that match prophecy.
Yes.
But never all at once.
Yes.
First time in history.
Amen. Amen. A significant aspect of Jacob's bondage is that the people cannot discern between what is an evil and what is not. Our people were once concerned about the corrupting influence of the Antichrist Jews in society, but now their lack of concern has brought about Jewish domination in the land, dominion in the land, and that's the direct fault of the churches. All the denominations are directly at fault here, of course, cooperating with the Jews to distort the teachings of the Bible. He quotes, "The Jewish Talmudism owes its existence today to the indifference with which it is regarded. The Jew is prejudiced against the Bible, doing what he can to destroy public honor of the book." From the International Jew, okay? Boy, Henry Ford knew that. Henry Ford was the founder of the identity movement in America. He absolutely was.
That was published in 1921,
right,
folks.
Yeah, 1921. The Christians do not see the Jews as the Antichrist they are, but rather as Bible followers and God's chosen people. This condition will change with Jacob's deliverance, quoting Malachi 3:18. So you will again distinguish between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and one who does not serve him. And it's pretty easy to see who's evil and who is good. Okay.
And if you don't see it, that's one of the main purposes of EFR.
Right.
Is to point it out clearly and give you proof after proof after proof after proof with the shows and the articles that we publish on our sites. It shows you who is who and who is Jew.
That's right.
And if you can't see it, it's because you don't want to.
That's right. That's right. For behold, the day comes that shall burn as an oven, and this is recorded also in Matthew chapter 13, the parable of the wheat and the tares, and all the proud and all that do wickedly shall be stubble, and the day that comes shall burn them up, speaking of the Edomites, and also the wicked and the proud, says Yahweh of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch, and you shall tread down the wicked. For they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, says Yahweh of hosts. Pastor Steve, I can't wait.
Yeah, maybe. Well, you and I, hey, we're on the front lines. We're not being bashful about it. And we put ourselves at risk. We understand this. Verse 13 says it's Malachi 4. Verse 1 and 3, and Micah 4:13, you have to be bold in your Christianity.
That's right.
You cannot be apologetic. If you do not proclaim him before your brothers and sisters, he will not proclaim you but before his Father. He tells you that you cannot be lukewarm, and you just cannot wait on other people to take the burden of this work that needs to be done. You need to jump in with both feet and get busy and be an active witness for Yahshua Messiah. If you do not, you're going to be lukewarm and he will spew you out. We don't want that for you. We want you with us in the kingdom. So get off your dead duff and start teaching. At least teach your children, if no one else, the truth of the scriptures. You can't let them get it in Sunday school. They will be taught lies. They will be taught lies on the Talmud vision and by the video games. You have to pull your children away from that stuff. And if they whine and cry, they're children. You have to raise them. You can't let them grow up by weeds and a little whack on the bum now and then will get their attention.
Yeah,
you know, you can't be spare the rod and spoil the child. Okay, says it in scripture.
Yeah, well, once you've weaned them off of on Talmud vision, it's very hard to wean them off of it, okay? Because, you know, how do you compete with Technicolor, right? Technicolor cartoons and everything that appears to be magic on that TV screen. It's very hard.
Well, you get rid of it. You get rid of it. Get it out of your house.
Throw it out.
And don't let them go over other kids' houses and watch it.
That's right. That's right. He continues. This, again, is again a promise of the destruction of the wicked by fire or burning at the hand of Israel. Note that the wicked, which is to be burned, is regarded as stubble, just as Esau was in Obadiah 18. The doctrine of universal salvation is obviously not a biblical doctrine, since there is no hope, redemption, or salvation for Esau Edom, only complete destruction. And he has a footnote here. The fundamentalist preachers are also saying that all of the troubles and afflictions prophesied to happen to Israel are to happen to the future of the Jews. Yet, as we have seen, most of these prophecies have already occurred to the white peoples. That's correct. And there's no way the Jews are going to convert either. They're never going
to
accept.
Well, the book is not to the Jews or about the Jews.
Yeah.
They are mixed breeds. It is to the pure, unadulterated seed line of white Israel.
Yes.
Period. No ifs, ands, or buts.
Right. Of course, we're identity is the only denomination or faith, Israel faith organization that has this teaching and has it correct. All right. The rest of the denominations are basically Jew-loving denominations. Who hate their own race. They actually do. They hate their own race. They might as well be libtards. That's how much they hate their own race. Okay? By the way, I saw television. I was just flipping through on the Talmud Vision, and two black people were calling people they don't like libtards.
Follow the leader.
Yeah, right.
Well, I saw that post. They had it posted on the site. That black guy that says we need to get rid of the niggers.
That's
black
right.
People are fine. But the niggers got to go. Same thing Chris Rock said.
That's right.
Because the niggers are committing over half of the murders.
Yes.
Well, and he said we're only like 5% or whatever.
Yeah.
However little amount of the population, they commit most of the murders.
90% of the
and
murders.
A lot of them are on black people.
That's right. They're killing
their own people.
Yeah,
and
fact,
he said, you black people need to wake up and get the niggers out of your neighborhoods.
Yeah, right. Yeah, a friend of mine called me up. He's also a veteran. In fact, he was also in Vietnam, although in a different theater than I was. He said, because the word of all the murders that are happening in Chicago is, always big headlines, and this guy doesn't live in Chicago, he lived in Carbondale. So he called my friend who does live in Chicago and said, man, Chicago, you've got all these murders going on. And my friend said, well, no, it's the blacks. it's not Chicago. It's the blacks in Chicago. They're the ones committing all these crimes.
Well, so that's what that guy said on that website. I forget his name.
Yeah.
But he said, he mentioned Chicago. And he says, man, you can't walk around in Chicago. You take your life in your hands.
That's right. Okay. Well, there's two cities here. There's Chicago and Chicago.
And you know
which part of it is Chicago, right? All right, let's continue. It needs to be understood that it is the plan of Yahweh for Edom to gain dominion and to rise to an exalted position in the world, and finally, at one final act, be brought down and be destroyed, never to return again. Praise Yahweh, I can't wait. Edom is thus much like the rich man in Christ's parable of the rich man and Lazarus, Luke 16, 19-31. Because the rich man, eye of the needle? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to go to heaven. But, I don't know, well, it doesn't really matter if he's a Jew or not, because there's enough white people who are materialistic and have become traitors to their own race that they won't be saved either. Let's continue. The yoke and the adversity of the Edomite Jew has been brought upon us due to our own actions of transgressions against Yahweh. And I agree with that, because if we Israelites had been keeping Yahweh's laws, the Jew would not be able to be a parasite upon us, because a parasite needs to can only feed off of a sick body, a sick host. If the host is healthy, the parasite can't invade. He continues, likewise, when Solomon had severely violated God's covenant and statutes, Yahweh had raised up an adversary to Solomon, Hadad the Edomite. This is very perceptive on Mr. Wiseman's part here. 1 Kings 11:6-14. The form of remedy or deliverance from this state is outlined in Deuteronomy 30:1-4, 2 Chronicles 7:14, and Jeremiah 3:12-13. Yahweh is not only the author of the script that is being followed in the earth, but is director and producer, and in fact owns the stage and all characters and props on it. As the psalmist says, the earth is Yahweh's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein, Psalm 24:1. Yes, all the world is much like a stage, and the stage is now being set for Esau's destruction and Jacob's deliverance. It is so written. And, wow, how many non-seedliners, and let alone Judeo-Christians, have the, I'm going to use a 40-letter word, perspicacity to see this, the wisdom, the intelligence to see this, that this is what the Bible's about. It's especially when you go from from Rebecca having the twins in her womb, from that moment forward in Scripture, it's all about the enmity between Esau and Jacob. And if your master, or I should say pastor, your pulpit bastard is not teaching this, he is doing you a great disservice. A great disservice.
Well, it said they would be separated and divided into two nations. And that has the connotation, if you look up the word in the Hebrew, of enmity.
Mm-hmm.
And Esau and Jacob Israel have been enemies.
Mm-hmm.
Since the beginning, mostly on the side of Esau, who hated Jacob. First of all, he legitimately sold him.
That's right.
The birthright. That was a legitimate deal. He came in from the big fight that he had with Nimrod and his men. And he didn't care about his birthright. It didn't mean anything to him. He despised it, held it in contempt. So he sold it for a bowl of lentil soup.
That's right.
And then later on, having the birthright legitimized Jacob's right to the blessing as the firstborn son, because he had purchased that legitimately, and Yahweh's hand was in that. And then when Esau found out what he had done, he wailed and raged and held it against his parents, and he was rebellious.
Held it against Jacob.
Them, and he married out of his race.
Right.
And it just kept breaking Yahweh's laws over and over and over. And it says all through Scripture, we've had how many shows listing all the passages where Yahweh hates Edom?
Esau, right.
It's all through it. Read the mm-hmm. book of Obadiah. If you're only going to read one book, it's a short book. It won't interrupt your football game that much. Read the book of Obadiah. It'll tell you what Yahweh thinks of Edom.
Right.
Including modern-day Edom.
And the Edomites own all the television networks, too. Right?
Well, they own your football team.
That's true.
I have never seen the point in watching large Negroes play with a ball right. of any kind. Any kind of a ball.
Uh-huh. Right.
Whether it's a nigger football league or the Nigger Basketball Association or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, and they let Jackie Robinson in to play baseball, and that was the end of that. Now 70%. Now they got nigger soccer players for England.
Right.
Oh, come on.
And France. The France soccer team is practically all black.
Oh, yeah, a bunch of cachahundas.
Yeah, right. Well, that must have been some damn good lentil soup, man. For Esau to sell his birthright for a bowl of soup. Epilogue, character roles and identity. The Bible is a script which has several different themes. This material has dealt with one of its main themes, that being the conflict between good and evil, right and wrong, lawful and lawlessness, and the ways of Yahweh and the ways of man, and the ways of the Jew. While this theme is fundamental and can be seen by most in the world, it has not been clear who the characters are that are involved in the conflict. There is one thing that is unmistakably evident regarding the Bible, and that is it deals with and is about a particular race of people, the direct descendants of Adam, later called Israel. They are the main characters in God's script. Esau Edom is a secondary character in this script. Well, Esau Edom is the bad guy. Okay? Esau Edom is the villain. Who was that? Dudley Do-Right?
They wear the black hat, literally.
Right? Yeah.
All the rabbis wear a black hat.
Yeah, actually,
but
Dudley
Do-Right.
Don't
hold that against them, because I got a black hat, too.
Yeah, right. Who was the villain in the Dudley Do-Right cartoons? Do you remember?
Oh.
Yeah. Filthy McNasty? Was that his name? I think that's what it was. Well, the Jews are Filthy McNasty, folks. And Dudley Do-Right is actually white people, because we're blithely going through life not realizing what danger we're in, right? And the Jews who wrote that cartoon probably had this all, you know, were doing all that deliberately, right? Anyway, here we are. We're Dudley Do-Right.
Well, they did that Star Trek thing where they had the Ferengi, and all they wanted was profit.
That's right.
Profit. You know, and they even made him look like those little Jews, you know, with a hooked nose, and the big
ears.
Wide smile, but it didn't
big
reach
ears,
the eyes.
Elephant ears, like Lying Butcher Johnson, right? Only when we know and identify the white European people as the Israel people and the Jews as the Edomites do things in the world make complete sense. When the roles of Jacob and Esau are identified, we see that everything is happening exactly as written in the script. The problem the world has been plagued with is a case of mistaken identity. Thank you very much. The great impersonation, how the Antichrist has deceived the whole world. If you want a copy of my book, go to www.anglo-saxonisrael.com and you can get a copy, a print copy for $37, or you can order an e-book version. Just go to the store at anglo-saxonisrael.com. Let's continue. The problem the world has been plagued with is the mistaken identity. Mistaken identity. But it's more identity theft. The Jews.
Yeah, this is not accidental.
No.
It's planned.
It's definitely planned.
It's a planned deception.
That's right. The Edomites do not like the role they have been assigned and fear being found out for who they really are. Actually, they do like their role, right? They relish it. They're having fun. Although, they must...
Not so much anymore.
Not so much lately, right? Their joy is being messed up by reality. They thus have been trying to rewrite the script to keep white Christians from discovering their identity and heritage and that of the Jew. Thus, it is believed that Esau, the Jew, is Jacob, or God's chosen people, and Jacob, the white race, is just a Gentile. No one can deny that the Jews are a most unique and unusual people which stand out in history and current events. That uniqueness exists in part because of their Edomite heritage. No other people fit the characteristics and follow the role of Esau Edom so completely as do the Jewish people. The Jews follow the role that their ancestors, the Edomites, had followed, and I would say they fit the marks of Cain perfectly. Because
it's all mixed in a racial soup.
Right.
And when Cain had all his children, eventually the Cainy, Q-E-N-I-Y, disappeared as a distinct people and mingled with all the Canaanites. And if you remember, the Khazars had Hittite lineage. They were also Canaanites. And when the Khazars, the Hittites, became Jews, quote unquote, and adopted Judaism as a religion, they fit right in because their innate nature was conducive to this type of behavior.
That's right.
Over to you.
Yeah. It also includes a Mongol strain because I forget what century it was, but after the Khazar people were actually defeated by the Rus, there was an invasion of Mongols that swept over the Khazars too, and you can be sure that a lot of race mixing went on there. Okay. The white nations beat them off, namely the Hungarians and the Austrians and the Russians had to fight these Mongols off. But a lot of Mongol blood intermixed with the Khazars at this point in time. And this gives the Khazars their brutal nature. Okay, not that the Hittites didn't have it already, but
oh,
it just
yeah.
added to it.
Well,
okay.
They fit right in.
Yeah, you like know. You said, they fit right in.
Birds of a feather flock together.
Yeah. The Jews, however, also have a lineage with the other individuals and tribes they have intermarried with, which makes them a totally polyglot people, cannot possibly be Israel. This includes Hittites, Canaanites, the descendants of Japheth through Togarma, Magog, and Ashkenaz, and the descendants of Ham through Canaan, as well as some Israelites and Judahites that have mixed with them through the course of time. Now, very interestingly, because when we did this show on did Moses marry outside his race, we found out that Moses refused to marry, what was her name?
Refused to consummate the marriage.
Refused to consummate marriage.
He ruled over the people, but he wouldn't go into the bedroom.
Right. So he never.
And she
had,
really got mad. Hell right. hath no fury like a woman scorned.
Like a Canaanite woman scorned. Right. So anyway, the people of Ethiopia, which was a white nation, but mixed with Hittites and other Canaanites, unfortunately, Hamites. And
Hamites.
The interesting thing was that the book of Jasher there brought out the fact that the Hamites had become servants to both the Japhethites and the Shemites. Okay, remember that passage? So, that's something that really the scripture doesn't cover. So we may have a lot of Hamites or some Hamites in the woodpile and in our white nations, causing trouble for us, just like Ammonites and Moabites, right? Causing trouble for us.
Well, they didn't stay pure Hamites. They became much.
Right. And they would have certainly sided throughout history with the Jews, as is really obvious, because Canaan, the son of Ham, who slept with his own mother, actually Ham slept with his own mother to produce Canaan.
Well, no, not his own mother. One of the wives.
No. You're thinking of Jacob, who had many wives.
Ham slept with one of his father's wives, not necessarily his mother.
Okay.
And that uncovers his father's skirt because that's his father's
nakedness. Nakedness, right. Okay. I was only aware of one wife for Noah. Naama is her name. I wasn't aware of any others. But I haven't read all of the Apocrypha, so I'm not sure. But nevertheless, the fact is that Ham engaged in incest. And Canaan was the one who was cursed, not Ham.
Because he was the child of incest,
right.
Just like Moab.
Right.
And Ammon were children of incest,
Amen.
And Yahweh cursed them.
It's amazing, Pastor Steve, how many Bible commentators, most of them Judeo-Christians, will tell you that Ham was cursed. Okay?
Well, they don't read. They don't really
right.
study.
Ham was not cursed. It was Canaan who was cursed. Okay?
Yeah.
All right?
The rest of his sons weren't cursed.
That's right. Okay, while heredity, migrations, and racial backgrounds do show that the Jews are who the Jews are and are not, The real test is the fruits of their words and deeds. By their fruits shall you know them. If Christians would only accept the simple test Christ provided us and apply it to the Jews, they would readily see they are not the people which they think they are, the Israelites. They are instead the rejected and cursed of Judah. Well, okay, let's talk about this. Let me just finish the sentence. They are instead the rejected and cursed of Judah, mixed with the cursed line of Esau, along with other peoples, and the cursed lineage that compels them to act the way they do. Okay.
That should read Judeans.
Judeans, yes. Right, right.
Not the tribe of Judah.
Right, yeah. And even Josephus tells us that even in the days of Herod, the true Judahites did not readily engage in intermarriage with the Edomites. This only occurred at the upper levels of society, as we find the same thing was happening with the Judahites upon the return from Babylon, where Ezra and Nehemiah said, well, this sin is occurring among the gentry, among the wealthier and leaders of the nation, but wasn't occurring with the peasants, the farmers, and the city folk, okay? Which is typically the way it works. It's because the gentry, the lords, and the rich want to do business with Edomites who have a lot of money, okay? And so farmers could care less. The farmers have no interest in mixing with Edomites, but it's only the wealthier within our white society that mix with Jews, as we see in politics and in corporations.
Well, who promotes all of this? Not all involved with the television and movies are Jews. There are predominantly Jews, but they control the others.
Right.
And they are a lot of them are of our own people that are race traitors.
That's right. That's right.
So not all of our people are going to make it. It says right in the Revelations, not all of Israel is Israel.
That's right. That's right. Okay, let's continue. They are instead the rejected cursed of Judea, and it includes some Judahites, some Judahite race traders, but the correct translation here would be Judeans. Their fruit identifies who they are and who they are not, just as their odd and unpleasant facial features attest to their hybridity, which is also a curse placed upon the Jew, and of course the genetic diseases that accrue from all this intense race mixing. Unlike the blessings.
Well, we saw earlier in Scripture that Judah himself had a Canaanite wife, and he had one son that didn't die, and those turned out to be the Shelonites.
Mm-hmm.
And they were set apart from the rest of Israel because they were mixed blood. Nobody would breed with them.
Right.
So they married outside the Israel line, and then Simeon, he also had a Canaanite wife.
Right. Yes.
So even the Israelites in the beginning were race mixers. They just saw something that looked good. Look at Samson.
Right. Well, actually, now I'm glad you brought that up because I've been doing research on that. And Delilah was a Philistine, not a Canaanite. Okay. Which means she was a Hamite. And
yeah, but he also went, if you read the whole thing about Samson, he had Canaanite girlfriends too.
Oh, he did.
Harlots and stuff.
Oh,
he went into the harlots.
Nasty. Wow. And he was a Nazirite.
He was a Nazir. Yeah.
Yeah, right. Wow. Not supposed to do that, Samson.
It cost him his life in the end. Yahweh used him as a tool.
Right.
And I said in my whole show that I did about Samson, he was not a good man.
Right. Is that in 2 Samuel, that episode?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very good. Very good. So unlike the blessings upon Yahweh's chosen people, the curse is upon a cursed and rejected people, whether spiritual or physical in nature, and it's both, prevail regardless of what races they intermix with. Yeah, the Jews infect everybody. We now have 2,000 years of history showing consistent ungodly behavior patterns of a cursed people called Jews, which should be proof enough for anyone to show that they are not the blessed children of Yahweh. All of this has indeed added to the confusion over the identity of the modern-day Jew. The modern-day Jew faces an identity crisis which even they acknowledge. Yes, they do. In a sense, the Jews do have a heritage in the Bible, and yet they do not. As mongrels or hybrids, the Jews do have some biological roots extending back to Abraham and the Judah people. Well, let's investigate this. First of all, Abraham did not approve of race mixing, and he sent for Rebekah from the Aramaean people, who are Hebrews. Okay, so these were two Hebrews, that's his son Isaac and Rebekah, Hebrews, not Jews.
Well, okay. And then Esau himself was a pure Adamite descended from Abraham, and he is the one that initiated this hybridization,
right,
with the daughters of Heth.
Yes.
That's a Hitti, that's the Hittites in English, without the spitting.
Right. Wipe off your microphone.
You got to wear a rain gear if you're
right,
talking
yeah.
to somebody that's speaking Hebrew.
A mic screen.
Yeah.
But as mongrels, they can never possess the birthright, amen to that, or claim true heritage of the original or pure Adamic race. For it is written, Deuteronomy 20. Oh, this is I've heard you quote this verse many times. Deuteronomy 20:32. You want to read
Shall
it?
Shall not come a Mamzer, 4:4-6:4, into the congregation of Yahweh, even unto the generation of the tenth, shall not come into the congregation of Yahweh. And a Mamzer, number 4:4-6:4 in your Hebrew, in your Strong's Concordance, is a mixed breed or a mongrel person.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mamzer in the Hebrew, mongrel in the English, does not mean someone born out of wedlock.
Well, they've translated it in KJV as bastard,
right,
which is completely off the charts.
Yes, right. It's a bad translation. Now it came to pass, when they had heard the law, that they separated from Israel all the mixed multitude, Nehemiah 13:3. Now it's interesting that the Jews teach that upon the return from Babylon, Yahweh permitted the Israelites to intermarry with the surrounding people. This is exactly what the Jews teach. But the Bible says exactly the opposite, does it not?
Well, the Talmud is directly opposite of the Torah.
Amen. Amen. Mixed Adamites, those possessing both Adamic and non-Adamic blood, can no more be a part of or heir of the Adamic race than one who is entirely of another race. The law will not allow the Jews to inherit the birthright because they're the descendants of Esau, who sold his birthright, or the kingdom regardless of the fact that they have Adamic blood, or some. Actually, most Jews have very little Israelite or Adamic blood. The only way they get Adamic blood these days is by marrying a white woman, because very few...
Shiksa.
Yeah. Right, Shiksa. As mongrels, the Jews cannot represent the Adamic line or the Israelite people, and thus cannot rightly be called Israelites, as the Jewish Almanac states, quote, strictly speaking, it is incorrect to call an ancient Israelite a Jew, or to call a contemporary Jew an Israelite, or a Hebrew. Okay.
That's right.
All right. This is the Jewish Almanac, published in 1980. Accursed and rejected people, such as the Edomites and some of the Judahites, some very, very small proportion of Judah intermixed with the Edomites, do not have God within them. And whatever percentage it is, they do not have the Holy Spirit. Their DNA cannot hold the Holy and entrain the Holy Spirit, for lack of a better word. As Christ said, if God were your father, you would love me. Can you think of anyone that hates Christ more than these people known as Jews today?
No, and I would say the Judahites that he quoted here, that would be some of the Judeans of Christ's time.
Right. Yes.
Not actually the tribe of Judah. They keep trying to confuse those two.
That's right. Yeah.
The people of the land of Judah, which were not all purebred, and then were people of the actual tribe of Judah, which were of pure blood, who would not mix. Yes.
And the difference is,
precisely. They were set apart.
Yeah. A Judahite is a pure-blooded descendant of our patriarch Judah by white women. Okay, that's a Judahite. A Judean is someone who merely resides in the territory of Judea, can be a person of any race, and most likely is a mixed-breed mongrel of some type or other. Okay?
Right.
Not the same.
Nationally, I'm called an American. But racially, I am an Israelite.
Right.
Sojourning in the land of America.
Amen.
Because we have a polyglot of people and races here, and there are a large number still of pure-blooded white Israelite people here. And that's who we're talking to right now.
That's right. And the same thing
applies to Judea. If you're of mixed race, I am sorry for you, but none of the things that I teach has anything to do with you. I'm sorry, you are not entering the kingdom. You will not have eternal life. You're not of the God's chosen people. You cannot become a spiritual Israelite because you were not born one by blood. Yeah. And that is harsh, but that is Yahweh's Torah.
Yes.
And
yes,
you have to deal with that.
And that's confirmed in Matthew chapter 15, you know, the encounter with the Canaanite woman. He says, I cannot give you the children's bread. and she said, truth, Lord, but we'll take crumbs. All right. Crumbs from Yahweh is much better than lies from the devil, folks. Much better
than lies from
the devil. Okay. The Jew can only claim to be of those lines from Adam that were either rejected by Yahweh or who had violated the law through interracial marriages. Well, again, we brought up, who was rejected by Yahweh? They were white people, the Moabites, the Ammonites, and the Midianites. Right?
Yeah.
They were actually white people. And so were the Philistines.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Well, the Midianites started out as good.
Yes, they did.
Yeah, Moses' father-in-law was a priest of Midian, and they were all pure white people. And they worshiped Yahweh. Later on, they got in near the Moabites and some of the other ites.
Right.
And started worshiping Molech and Baal.
Right, and Ashtaroth.
There were many Baals. They were weather gods.
Right.
But there was one big chief Baal. And that's with the capital.
Kenny
it's
Baal.
Not Baal. Everybody says Baal. It's not Baal. It's Baal. All
right, yeah. We just anglicize it because it flows smoothly off the lips better than Baal. Right?
Well, don't bail on me here, man.
Oh, you get 3 demerits for that one.
Oh, I just couldn't resist that one.
Right, conspiracy and conflict. Conspiracies are as old as the hills. They sure are. God's people have often been the target of conspiracy. Psalm 83:3. It should be by now seen why talk of an international Jewish conspiracy makes no sense to the general public. They don't see or understand, well, they're told there is no such thing as a conspiracy. They don't see or understand anything of the kind because they do not know the identity of the characters in God's script, the Bible, or their roles in that script. Why would Jews, which the entire church world holds up as the apple of God's eye, want to harm or destroy white Christians? Indeed, why would they? It's because they're the apple of Satan's eye, not Yahweh's eye. Through the various organizations, movements, political parties, and Masonic orders, which Edomite Jews have either established or infiltrated, a definite program has been designed to prevail over or harm the white Christian people, no doubt. As heirs of heirs of Esau, the Jews are also destined to act according to an assigned role. Thus, Jews need not be part of a conspiracy to dominate the world or to harm or vex Christians or to destroy their civilization. The Jews, or some of them, are used by God to execute his plans in the earth. Jews follow this role in God's script and have been doing these things and will continue to do them, whether or not they have any specific plans against, well, they're just following their DNA, right?
Yeah.
I mean, when
Lucifer, it is their nature.
It's their nature. He says, a lion kills to eat because God has assigned such attributes to its ancestors when he created them. Lions cannot help what they are, when, nor can the leopard change its spots, and because it is ingrained within their constitution to do so. Likewise, the Jew is a hostile, abrasive, hateful, ungodly, destroyer, and usurer because such attributes and roles were assigned to an ancestor of the Jews, namely Esau, Edom. They cannot deviate from hating or doing ungodly and destructive things any more than a lion can refrain from killing, for it is their way of life. Well, that's interesting because I want to bring up several Jews who have tried to get out of their DNA programming. Benjamin Friedman would be one who has really done the white race a tremendous service by exposing the Balfour Declaration and the Versailles Treaty and the Jews behind it, which is nothing but a treaty war, which is a fatal treaty. Versailles Treaty was a fatal treaty for the German people, which led directly to World War II, okay, and more bloodshed. So he exposed this. There are Jews who try to bring the truth out. Myron Fagan comes to mind. He exposed the Illuminati and admits they're Jews. Yeah. Talks about the Rothschilds all the time. I think David Klein was his name, a Jewish lawyer who defended the Christians who were defamed by Roosevelt in the sedition trial. Okay. So there's the occasional Jew who rebels.
David Cole. He exposed the Auschwitz fraud.
Right.
We got less than 3 minutes, brother.
Yes. So I would say there are some of these Jews who may have a fair amount of white blood and the DNA, the Luciferian DNA, just like in Rebecca's womb. Their DNA is fighting against itself in their own bodies, right? And, who knows how they're going to end up. You know, it's Yahweh's call. It's not ours, okay?
Well, it's like blacks. There are some that are quite decent.
Yes.
Yeah, they do not by their numbers offset the ones that are not.
Right.
But even though they are decent beasts of the field.
Right.
They are not Adam. They are not of Israel. They can never be of Israel. They can believe and they can obey Yahweh's laws and they will be blessed because of it. But they're not children of the promise and won't be brought into the kingdom as eternal beings like we will. They will live out their life in a normal human manner. They will live and die in their allotted time span of a natural life. And that's it.
That's right. That's the way it is, folks. All right, we're just about out of time. Thanks for listening. This completes our series on Esau Edom. Thanks for listening, and praise Yahweh, and thank you, Charles Wiseman, for this wonderful work. We advise everybody, recommend it to everybody, to read this wonderful book. Thanks for listening. Praise Yahweh. Pass the ammunition. See you next time.
Shalom Aleichem.
Father can change them and all.